Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
That.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's go to your calls. Joe's in Maryland. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Fear the turtle.
Hey, that's why I called, though. I just passed the University of Maryland about 10 minutes ago when I called. And so wanted to give you guys props. You're my favorite show during the day on 98.5. But so I agree with everything you say. I love your insight except for one thing. I think they're either going to have full stadiums or no stadiums. And if you, this is what I call terrapin math, okay? Think about how what you have to have, 6 feet, right? So if you're going 6 feet, that's every third row. That reduces you down to 20,000 in the stadium max. And then assuming that you could even have as many as half of that row having people sitting in the row, you're down to 10,000 people max. And then you got to test everyone coming in, and you got to have things sanitized and all that stuff. So I don't think that they're going to have anyone in the stands this year. And I'm a season ticket holder, and Mr. Kraft hasn't hit my bank account yet. So usually he hits me in around March. So
right. They were way ahead of this, too. You mean you could get your money back on this season's tickets? And I know you said you haven't been hit on it yet, but you have the ability to turn those over and get right back to where you still secure your tickets next year. The Patriots are way ahead of this. They're the first ones to do it. They're the only ones to come out front and say, if you guys don't want to go to games, you feel comfortable, there's people that may want to go, and you could be right back in your spot next year, no problem, and no questions asked.
So I would say that, again, to go back to an earlier point, Hardy has spoken about this before, that if you can only bring in 10,000 fans, it's not worth it to open the stadium. There's too much cost involved.
I agree with that.
Many precautions involved that it's too much work. So they probably won't do it because of the cost of it, because you're now not making enough money, or you're maybe even losing money with the cost of opening the stadium. And that to me is that's a valid argument. From a business standpoint, it doesn't make sense for us. We're actually losing money on it or something along those lines.
Well, think about the security with team ops. Think about Aramark, your concessions. Are you testing all those people prior and post?
No, you're not testing all those people.
Of course you're not. But so, you're saying who falls under an umbrella? I heard the NBA number that it's about $145 to test.
So my point is on this,
on
though,
average.
But
go ahead.
My point is this, that – okay, let's assume from a business standpoint, it does not make sense by itself. It doesn't make sense.
Right. It would be a wash.
Right, or no. It's a wash.
Right.
The question I had about what Taylor Twellman had said was, what if the NFL wants it as part of their television product? That they say, okay, it's a wash, but you know what? We're going to do it because we want to show that we can, A, bring fans into our stadiums, and that we're going to do it. Even if it's 10,000, we want to send that message that we are trying to get people back in the stadium. And B, we want it for our TV broadcast because with 10,000 people, we'll find
TV.
A crowd shot. And with 10,000 people, we can mic up the stands in a certain way to simulate good crowd noise.
Hey.
And it's going to make our television broadcast a better product at home. And for that, we want to do it.
Right. Tell me this. We're going to talk to the top execs that do bad bowl games. Hey, there's college football games that only get maybe 30%, 40% full. And, you know, you compact the stands down. Now, the TV shots won't show you the full stadium. There's ways around that, and you're going to have to have a hell of a TV crew.
They'll show you cheerleaders, and they'll show you the right. six fans in the front row. And
you will, yep, and it'll look
they
packed.
They find ways to do it.
Yeah, they film movies doing it that way. They'll put people in one section and just say, hey, we're going to do low-angle shots.
Yeah, they
there's
might,
ways around it.
They might be willing to say, okay, this doesn't make sense financially, and it's going to cost us more to have security and concessions and all this stuff, but for the television product, it's that important to us that it look better on TV. You don't have to do anything with mixing of the sound. You don't have to create any kind of, you know, false narrative in terms of what's going on with the game.
Yep.
Yeah, if we're only going to allow 15, 20,000 people in there, which sucks for our bottom line on game day, but it makes for the product. It makes the product better, so it's worth the money.
Yeah.
It's a real consideration, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had never thought of that until the, you know, and again, this home field thing. Even if there's a slight little bit of home field, I think the NFL teams, individual teams, are going to want to take whatever home field advantage they can maybe get. Because I think it does matter. You know, I think home field to a degree does matter in the NFL.
Yep. Massively.
More so than the other three major American sports. Tom and Newton up next. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just got a question on, you know, sort of crowd noise and Stidham, and I guess rookies generally. I mean, assuming that there aren't going to be able to have, you know, fans in the stand this year, and, you know, by early next year they have a vaccine available, and so by, you know, September 2021, by the start of next season, you can have fans again. For guys like Stidham, you know, like assuming he's the guy and he does well this year, if his first, you know, formative year as a starter in the NFL is without crowd noise and he's going to, you know, Kansas City, Seattle, and is not experiencing that environment, do you have to worry about him regressing next year? Or, you know, you don't think it's a problem? What do you guys think?
I wouldn't think it's a major problem. I think what happens is, and Zoe can speak to it better than I can, the speed of the game won't be a shock next year if there's crowd noise. You know, the speed of the game, things aren't going to speed up on him.
It's intimidation factor.
And there's it's something that he doesn't have to worry about while he's worrying about adapting to being an NFL quarterback.
It's beyond that, being a pro guy. And I know he comes from Auburn. I know he played at a high level there, packed stadiums, all that stuff. But, hey, I played at Clemson. I played at Penn State. Played at Michigan. You know, loud of stadiums ever. Virginia Tech. I've seen them all. And there's nothing to replicate what it's like on an NFL game day. Like, the whole game day experience coming out. Like, you're in the show. You're in the league. And there's electricity. There's a vibe in the stadium. It's different than any other level. And that's the hardest thing, one of the hardest things for young players to adapt to. And the guys that figure it out, become great players, start to get incorporated more, play at a high level, and start to get developed. The others that can't keep up with that, they're out of the league in 2 years. And it's an intimidating thing. An NFL Sunday game day on the road is an intimidating thing. You get caught up in all that crap, looking around at the Raiders thing. Shit, fans shouting at you out in Denver. You know, and up in Denver, man, those fans were 3 feet behind the bench. They could hear the conversations you were having on the sidelines. They're like right there on top of you. Now, most stadiums aren't built that way anymore. Fans are back a little bit, but it's an intimidating thing for a young player. And that'll actually be an advantage for them not having noise like that. You know, they're going to be able to be coached better, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as the job is hard enough already, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so if it's made a little bit easier in the opening stages, then roll with it. That's what I would say. Deshaun Jackson has an idea for if there are no fans, by the way, for the television product.
I like it, don't like it.
We'll get to his comments, and also an update on Tiger King today. All that this hour. Go nowhere.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My feeling about playing in an empty stadium, I mean, I definitely can't recall playing in an empty stadium. I never really played in an empty stadium, honestly. I've always had fans, even from Pop Warner. Like, I used to look in the stands and have fans. So, I mean, like, it's going to definitely be a culture shock. I think it's going to be very more.
Unless they start micing up everybody.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy. I mean, I think they should, though, bro. They should give the fans, like, an insight to really see what goes on in between the white lines, bro. It gets crazy, bro. It definitely does. I know in the trenches it get crazy, and I know out there on the outside it gets crazy, too, the conversations we going back and forth on.
– That is DeSean Jackson. He says, mic him up. Mic everybody up in the league. That wouldn't take much if there are no fans in the stadium. If it's empty, it'll be easier than ever to do. And so, what do you think? Do you think players would go for that? And what he's really talking about is the permission.
Sound effects.
Right?
Stuff.
You gotta like get that, permission. Yeah. Like the league and its players have to say, yeah, you can do that. You can have the mics on in real time, and whatever we say, we know is fair game. Whatever happens between those white lines, you can broadcast.
Here's the biggest problem: language. Yes. It is extremely vile down there. It is as bad as you can think it is. Given what upsets people, and I don't think people will be able to deal with the type of language that you would hear down there. Now, they usually mic up a quarterback or, you know, receiver, defensive lineman or blitz end or something like that. And then it'll go through it and filter it and play it on sound effects 2 days after the game. What you're talking about with DeSean Jackson is talking about, you know, the receiver, is live mic'd up, meaning, hey, we want this to be part of the broadcast. That's going to be, I would not want to be that guy, that producer in the truck that's got a live mic on a guy that gets hit, and then the bleep starts to roll, and then the back and forth. Like,
well, you just get
DeSean
away from
Jackson
it.
He's a big bleep talker, and that's what he wants to get into. I know exactly what he's talking about. You know, I would love to hear what the quarterback's saying. I would love to hear, you know, the communication with the guy in the green dot, you know, who's calling out the defense. I'd love to hear that in the huddle. Coaches will not allow this. Teams won't allow that. The league won't allow it. They will allow it after the fact that you pick something up. Nothing in game like that.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
We're watching what's going on with the Major League Baseball stuff right now, and this has come up. You know, MLB players say, go ahead, you can mic us, put us on television, it's fine. It's part of them getting their money. The NFL is just sort of operating, and the NFL gets all this praise. They've just, you know, gone straight forward, they're planning on their season, they're going to do it. What if they get stopped in their tracks? What if they can't have fans in the stadium at some point? What if it happens mid-season, if there's a second wave? You know, if any of these things happen, what's going to happen between owners and players about their pay? Because what we're talking about is a concession that players would have to give and give permission for this to go down. It's not.
I would get mic'd
up now, but they do it because they agree to it, and then it's edited after the game, and there's some prior review before it hits TV.
I could never see a team like the Patriots agreeing to have one of their players mic'd up like that under those circumstances.
What if it's not up to them anymore? What if it's just part of what the league is instituting?
I think you have a big problem.
What if the league's trying to make up some lost revenue and they say, you know what?
That's my point. That's what I'm talking about.
We're going to have a streaming only.
I know where he's heading on this, right?
Streaming only thing with mic'd up.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying.
Amazon. Yep.
I'm saying that, you know, this would be a way to enhance what they've got as content, and whether that's a separate stream or not, it's been a concession in a battle over money between players in Major League Baseball. What if the NFL is forced at some point to have fewer fans in the stadium than what they want, or no fans at all, and they're looking to make up lost revenue? Are we in for a battle over the payment to players in the NFL? And as part of that, is this going to be something that players and coaches have no say over, that the New England Patriots don't want to do it? And the league says, too bad. We don't care what you want to do. This is about what we want to do. You're a part of a league, and everyone's going to play by these rules. That could be the case. That could be how this comes to fruition. In the opinion of, again, DeSean Jackson, who's saying if there are no fans, you got to mic everybody up. I think we're all just sort of assuming this won't happen to the NFL. What's happening in baseball with the dispute between players and owners? If they can't have fans, they're in the same boat as baseball.
Right. And if it does come to that point, Beadle, teams like the Patriots, and the Patriots are probably the best example on this, if they're being forced into something that they feel is somehow going to decrease a competitive advantage, or let stuff out there that they don't want out there, you know, they will, it would be my guess that they will say, okay, fine, we'll mic everybody up, but you didn't say we had to keep the microphones clear of obstructions. You know, we'll do whatever it is. We'll do by letter of the law, whatever it is that you're requiring us to do, but we're going to make it so that it's not a great product for you and you're not going to force us to do it anymore. Or we're going to do it so that we don't let anything out there that we don't want out there. You know what I'm saying? From a team standpoint.
Yeah.
The players and everything else, there are a lot of different entities. You know, we say the NFL is going to do this. But, I mean, like, that's the league. Then you've got the owners. And you've got the Players Association. There's all these different entities in all these leagues, and they might all have issues with it. But you're right. If they say it from a league level, no, this is what we're doing as a league, they may not have a choice. And then it's going to be – they're going to feel it's like incumbent upon them to alter it in some way so that it's more palatable to them and that they don't end up, you know, giving away state secrets in the process. Or embarrassing their players. Maybe it's just as simple a question of that. They don't want what's
an elevated game, man. It's crazy down there. It's a lot of fire, a lot of spit and fire going on. Some fans will be shocked by what they heard. Leave it at that. Yeah.
617-779-0985.
Get ready for some of that your mama talk. That's a mama's
noise.
Joke.
Crowd noise in the mix, but also we're all just wishing Hardy well today. We're just that's part of the conversation.
That's not really a thing anymore. Hey, we're not doing that.
That's this still a thing. Right, is that still a thing?
It's gonna be 35 of the toughest minutes of radio I've done. How many more messages? My phone is lighting up. Like
Marshall Hook thinks you're leaving, Hardy.
Hook's like, I'll put my stuff in right away.
Marshall Hook retweeted me and said, great, here's another job I won't get.
Another job I'll be looked over for.
To whom should I submit my resume for immediate ignoring?
That's nice.
What? That's how he talks.
He's already bitching on Facebook about he had to download something on his computer, and now it's a DNP or something. Now it doesn't work with work, and his kids in the other room being homeschooled, and the computer fell on the floor. I wonder how a Zoom class like that one. Hook's pretty active on Facebook.
Lee and Quincy thinks you're leaving, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Lee and Quincy, so sad. So sad to hear this. And I said, so sad to hear what? That we always want to wish the best for Hardy? He's a great guy. What's the issue?
That's great. It's really good.
No, my favorite one is that the Patriots checked in today. That's a good one.
Well, they're always busy. And they're always, like, listening in just to make sure. Ding, 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 we do picks. Oh, what are they saying? They're going to be saying anything. Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Well, we kind of know the vibe of your show. Someone here said Hardy's leaving. Is that really true? Like, no. No, it's not true.
They're probably just worried from a team standpoint because if I'm, like,
dude,
leaving
Barstool
the area.
Barstool wants you tomorrow. Barstool would hire you tomorrow.
Well, that's very nice. But, you know, as far as the Patriots are concerned, they might have to find someone to babysit Perillo for pre and post.
That's probably what they were worried about. Probably could care less about this Zolak and Bertrand program. Come in here. And probably it's probably Fred Kirsch telling one of them, hey, you better call someone down there. See what the hell's going on with Hardy.
Yeah.
Because we need to hurry up and find someone.
Because we can't, you know, we just can't have it be a Dussault and Perillo. I mean, yeah. That's not going to work.
Gerard is in Rhode Island. Hey. Gerard, hey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to say, you
that's
know,
sushi.
Real quick. you know, if you're going to have the players mic'd up, I mean, and there's no fans in the stadium, you're working on a limited staff, why not just put a delay on the game, and then you can beep out whatever you want. But I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Gerard. There's already a slight delay. On television.
Yeah. We're dabbling way in too much into the intricacies of the game and delays and all that. And see, that's a tough thing because you got radio partners, too, that are putting their broadcasts out there. So how far ahead of the game do you want them to be as opposed to the TV product? You know, then you're going to start being able to fill some sort of a pattern there to where you can pick up on some things, you know what I mean.
I don't think they care. Yeah. I don't think they care about that. I don't think TV cares about radio being ahead.
They don't, but the NFL does because something's going to happen. Say it's 25 seconds ahead or 30 and you hear a call. Now all of a sudden, you can start to take calls and apply them to, hey, we heard this real quick. Someone listening on a radio call, they're half a minute ahead on our broadcast, a game. So whatever you're hearing, we're going to – you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Why would the NFL care if radio is ahead of TV by that much?
Makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever. I take all that back.
Delete the take.
And I, so there may
Bad
be
take.
Something
take,
there.
Delete. Take,
like,
delete.
Like the league might care because they would want people.
I'm trying to think, well, why would someone be listening to the game on the radio? Because it just played out. They're both going to play out the same exact time. Yeah. Even though it's going to be delayed.
Well,
that makes no sense what I say.
No. Not from a competitive advantage. Now, the league might, in a perfect world, they might.
In a transparent world, it makes sense. Like, well, in virtual, you know, I'm so trained now virtually, do everything virtually. like maybe they can watch a game on the iPad, but listen to it. You'd be so far ahead. Like, why are those people in the other room jumping up and down screaming, yay?
I'm trying to help. Hold on.
You can't right now.
I don't.
No, so no, let's just take a call. Mabel in the car. Mabel.
What is this? I'm here. What is this? Hardy, please don't leave me. You can't leave me, Hardy.
You know,
no, you can't.
Well, no, I'm not going anywhere. Beetle decided to have some fun today, and I have stopped responding to people
online. We had a lot of fun today.
And on text. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not quitting. I haven't been fired. I'm not dying. As far
as
I know.
So how did the whole thing start? I missed the beginning of the broadcast. How did the whole thing start?
Ask Beetle.
Beetle?
Well, I just offered some high praise of Hardy, and I expressed my my heartfelt appreciation for everything he does, and it sounded sort of like it was a eulogy.
And then you decided to tweet without any completely out of context.
With zero context, everybody joined me in wishing Hardy the best.
Right, which, all right.
Which people have drawn their own conclusions about and started to think that Hardy is leaving,
and
which
now
I've enjoyed.
And now Zoe is making a new list. Zoe, what list are you making right now?
I just got my Beetle box here. That's all.
It's a picture of Beetle that he's hitting with the claw end of a hammer.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. And I told you this was going to happen. We were going to have issues today, Jim. I blame Jim. I don't know which version of Jim that is.
Can I ask?
Positive Jim.
Liquor store's open at 2. I'll be there.
Can I ask why you have a hammer in the master bedroom?
For hanging all my pictures in the back, and I never took it downstairs after that. I have like 10 hammers. I hammer in the morning. I hammer in the evening. All over this land. I hammer out without warning.
You're like John Henry. The original, not the Red Sox owner.
Right.
Uh-huh. Gunner in North Andover. Gunner.
That's a pretty good picture of Beetle.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was thinking about this, and I wasn't sure if it was brought up or not, but what about GoPro and the players? I mean, you know, if you're not going to have the excitement of the audience and the crowd there, how about GoProing them?
High def has not been good enough for the NFL? I don't think so, because I don't think players are going to go for it.
How would the cameras hold up in the NFL? Like, GoPros affixed to their helmets.
They wouldn't get dislodged at all.
Yeah, you could fix them in different places now. They're actually
you know what it is? You know, real quick, I'm going to stop you there. The XFL, the first one, tried to do this. They had the GoPro right inside above the ear pad on one side.
Okay.
And all it did was shake the entire time. It made it uncomfortable to watch.
It'd be like watching the Blair Witch Project. I couldn't watch that.
Yeah, it'd be like them running through the woods. Yes. Yep.
Plus the NFL.
Did you like
the
Blair Witch Project when it came out, Hardy?
No.
I was so afraid. I didn't even know what I was afraid of. I didn't even know what I was watching.
No,
I was so afraid.
I went to the theater and...
Because I was told it was real in West Virginia.
Do you guys know who Art Bell is? We've talked about this.
Yes. Oh, Art Bell's he's the UFO guy.
Do you know who he is, Beetle?
Yes. Yes.
Art Bell, I remember.
You better not be listening on a dark road if you're the only one in a car and you got him on.
Yeah, Art Bell would do shows, you know, from the Kingdom of Nye in Nevada, right? And he would, you know, from his bunker, and he'd do these radio shows, and they're all about UFOs and, you know, these natural phenomena like the bottomless holes, you know, that you could find in Utah where no amount of slack down the hole, you could never find the bottom. I remember I heard it live. I was working the night shift at the station in Vegas. I was driving home listening to Art Bell, and he had the director on from the Blair Witch Project. And Art Bell, alone in his studio there in Pahrump, Nevada, was asking the guy, "Tell me about this footage." And the director's like, "Well, yeah, the idea behind the movie is we find this footage, and then you know we piece it together, and it's the last document of these kids who were, you know, in our movie making a film about the Blair Witch Project." And Art Bell says, "Yes, but how did you get the permission of the children's parents to turn it into a feature-length film?" And I was like, no, it's all made up. And Art Bell could not believe it. He had watched it. He had the guy on for an interview. And up until the guy told him it was all fake, he thought it was a real found footage film.
That's pretty great.
It was an Art Bell classic. I mean, like, nationally syndicated show. He went like question after question, and the director's kind of like laughing it off, like, ha ha ha, yes. Well, seemingly that would have been an issue, actually getting the kids' parents' permission, but we didn't have to because, you know, it's fiction. What? What?
We've got an update on Joe Exotic, the Tiger King himself, and Carol Baskin.
Oh, my. And we'll say goodbye on the other side.
We're not saying goodbye to anybody. Update on the Tiger King next.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, here, kid, kid. Mama's got some treats for you. Oh, here, kid, kid. You can't find this taste in the zoo.
Well, there's an update on Joe Exotic, who's still in prison, obviously. His nemesis, Carol Baskin. Guess what she now owns?
Don't
she owns
it.
The zoo. She owns the GW Zoo.
What a kick in the nuts.
Remember when Carol won the $1 million lawsuit against Joe and his mother?
Mm-hmm.
And then never got paid?
The money came in.
Well, guess what? A judge has ruled that Joe Exotic turning over the deeds to his mom was a sham and a way to try and shield his assets. And so now the judge has given Carol control of the land to help satisfy the $1 million judgment that she won against him.
Well, she loves tigers so much. Why wouldn't she enjoy that?
The federal judge has ruled that Jeff Lowe has 120 days to get his ass off the property and take his animals with him.
Oh, my God. That dude put so much work in and thought it was his then. Oh, I kind of like that.
Jeff Lowe reopened the GW Zoo last month under a new name, by the way, Tiger King Park.
Where's this? Why don't you keep using Joe?
No, that's really, I mean, that's really smart.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were just asking, like, in casual conversation.
Who's
like,
Tiger King?
Where's that? You may not remember Joe, but Tiger King. Everybody knows Tiger King. Where's that Tiger King Park? Where's that Tiger King Zoo? Yes, that's actually pretty brilliant, but it's not
now,
his anymore.
Do you want to hear what Jeff Lowe has to say about this?
About Carol Baskin getting control of the zoo? Yes, very
yes.
much.
He doesn't sound very upset about it. Telling TMZ... We have long anticipated that the judge would eventually undo the 2016 land transfer. We are thankful that he dragged out his decision this long and allowed us time to complete the new Tiger King Park in Thackerville, Oklahoma, behind the world's largest casino. Oh, they built a new park that they are moving to. How do you like that one? They were already looking to get rid of the... or they were moving out of the Tiger King Park in Oklahoma. They had anticipated that this would come, but it gets better. Their statement continues. From Jeff and his wife, Lauren. Considering Carol spent approximately $2.5 million chasing her $1 million judgment, we congratulate her on her new acquisition of 16 acres in rural Oklahoma. And they also took one parting shot, saying, quote, the possibility of human remains being buried on this land should make her feel right at home. What a statement.
Jesus.
What a statement. So Carol Baskin now owns the 16 acres of the original GW Zoo in rural Oklahoma. Congratulations, Carol.
Now, Beto, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Because nobody's a fan of Carol Baskin. I mean, it's hard to be a fan of... Anyone in the show. A couple of the handlers, maybe, you know, you could have some empathy for. But You're on Facebook a lot. You still do Facebook.
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever checked out her Facebook page or the or her zoo, whatever it was called? Have you ever been on there to see what it's like?
No, but I want to.
See,
because it's obviously good if you're telling me about it.
No, because I've never looked at it either, and I thought about it. But I'm rarely on Facebook, and B, that's how she makes her money. It's that like that.
Oh, yeah, it's like YouTube videos, right?
Crazy amount of money she gets from Facebook and YouTube. So, I mean, even if just like one more view somehow puts like any money in her pocket, I don't want to do it. Plus, I think it would get really old, like really quickly. You see enough in Tiger King of what her videos are like, and they suck. It's like just terrible. It's like fluff for like people who are into like big tiger soft porn. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know who it appeals to. But just by viewing it, you would actually be helping her. I don't want to help her.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it then.
Yeah.
Can't stand her.
All right, good. Good.
Carol Effin Baskin. Congratulations, Carol.
Yeah, she was on that Facebook Live, and she's talking to those cameras and people out there, and thank you for the new thing. And we got this real thing we're excited about opening up next year. And then all these kids here are working here, and they've been volunteering. Who volunteers at a zoo for over 2 years?
I don't know.
That's
but,
my question.
But like,
that pissed me off more than anything.
Hundreds of them who make no money.
And then, but the cool thing is, if you volunteer for over a year and a half, you become a head volunteer.
You get a purple
like
shirt.
You get a badge, right? They put a sticker on my chest. I got a new sticker here, and we wear a blue shirt now as opposed to yellow shirt. Yellow shirt, they're the rookies. You know, we have fun with them. They have a pledge night next week. I'm like, this is really starting to irritate the hell out of me. This stuff. I'm a big anti Carol Baskin's guy.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're firmly anti Carol Baskin.
This Jeff Lowe character too. I'm not happy. I mean, he took it to Joe pretty good. I think he hoodwinked him a little bit. I'm not too sad that he's losing the park. He built that whole new park up that, hey, Lion King or Tiger King Park, right? Jeff built that. That's all Jeff's hard work.
New
now
one.
Carol gets convinced on it. Yeah.
No, the new park that she's not taking. She's taking the original.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he rebuilt the old one. Wasn't that part of the process with it?
He was doing some work, but he built a new one.
Okay.
That she doesn't get.
Okay.
So.
Well, maybe that was at the end of what we were watching.
Today's takeaway, Zoe, are coming up next. Anything you'd like to tease, Zoe?
Yeah. Goodbyes are tough. They're tough. We'll do that next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Check them out, 6 locations. They're on the World Wide Web. That's where they will virtually coach you up to lose the weight. Great products. They'll take care of it for you. Free support for life. Awaken180weightloss.com.
All right, few items to get to today. Let's start with a podcast intro from, I believe the official name is Through the Wire, is what they're going with.
This is presented by WMUA Sports.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Through the Wire, presented by WMUA Sports, little podcast we've been putting together through quarantine.
The piano wear.
It just can't do two things at once.
Yeah,
you
it's
can't
like
have
Big Nate. Right. It's like Big Nate. Big Nate, Cam, they're all right. The same.
What did Big Nate use? Was it Enter Sandman? It was.
It's pretty much the same thing.
It was some Metallica song.
Yeah, it was. It was
Nightmare.
What's up?
You're listening to Big Talk with Big Nate on 91.5 WMLN.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Big Talk with Big Nate.
I hate every intern. It's like,
whoa,
have God, they
no.
learned? I'm kidding. Have they learned nothing? How many shows have they
Someone
been there from the start?
Someone did send us a tweet earlier. That's
Beto, how many shows have you started? What
be
is
an
up?
Intern on Zolak and Bertrand and be terrible at radio production.
Well, it's not for
all
the
right.
Lack-
all right.
It's not for the lack of training they get from T-Bone back there. Like, intern's first day, what do? I don't know. Shut up. Figure it out. Like, that's... I feel so bad for him.
That is how T-Bone
weren't you an intern?
Handles it.
He just wasn't ignores
he,
them.
Was he an intern?
I'm glad it's your last day.
No kidding.
It's not Hardy's last day. Hardy's not going anywhere, but if you wanted to know how this started earlier, here's a preview of that.
I feel like Hardy is really like a Swiss Army knife. He can produce. He can do all these different things. He's got all these skills, and he's kind of done so much in his radio career. I mean, is that a question you don't get asked enough? I feel like, what's it like working with Hardy, and how underrated maybe is Hardy?
I would agree. I don't get asked that question enough. And I am insanely lucky to be with him every single day. There is no one that I work with at the Sports Hub that I feel more strongly about than Hardy. So I'll go. He's so incredibly talented. And how he's able to adapt and be so versatile and be good at all the stuff he does, which is even more insane. And it's sort of unfair, is what I would say. It's sort of unfair how damn good he is at things.
Yeah, and I could connect with him on golf and stuff like that.
And he's easily the funniest guy in that building.
Yeah,
he's hilarious. I mean, it's not even close. And
Hardy's so funny. You can see him on Friday nights right after Lenny Clark. Lenny opens for Hardy now and all the giggles around the area.
No.
That's how funny he is.
Not leaving. Not quitting.
You are,
not no, you're not leaving.
Not
we'll
dying.
See we'll see you again. It's not, we don't say goodbye here. Yeah, we don't do that.
Yeah, that's what Breer...
Because we'll see you again.
He stole that from Breer.
Breer won't let it go either. He's a half a million followers, and he just keeps it...
That gets it up there.
Keeps it rolling. Yeah, that's good for him. That's great. It's not going to...
Like over a million people, after all the people that retweeted and tagged on Twitter, Hardy probably had over a million people view that, yeah, he's moving on.
Yeah, I'm
he's going nowhere. He's going nowhere. He's not leaving us. It was all just fun and games. But I really think the thing that put him over the top and kept him here was probably this. Roll it.
Hardy, come back. Any kind of fool could see. Once you're gone, the show will suck without you.
That's very nice. It's Tom Worcester.
Tom Worcester.
Yeah. Who's had
a rough night.
Freed up some time to send that in today.
I believe he said he's had bottles thrown at him all night. So
Worcester was not nice last night.
I'm hearing that from a couple of different people now. My buddy Brian said it was one of the craziest nights he's ever had on the job a couple of nights ago, when he was downtown like until 7:30 in the morning, just when you thought it had calmed down.
Yeah,
you just got Different waves, different people taking advantage of different times of night, different opportunities, and those guys were out there all night just trying to keep a lid on things. Which I gotta say, I mean, for all the stuff that went down, for the most part, they did. It could have been as bad as it was. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. That's great, Beetle. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I am.
Did with your day. It was good. Good.
I am. Anything else? Anything else we forgot about? We're good?
No.
I'm good.
Jim is just shaking his head no. Yeah, that's it. We're all done.
All right. Just making sure.
Okay.
Just double checking. Zoe, you still mad at me?
Nope. I don't get mad.
You know who's happy?
Oh.
Schneekloth. Zoe put Schneekloth on his list of his 10 best friends in the building, and I could see the grin behind the mask out in the office earlier. He was so happy. He's like, oh.
Windchip's on a boat. Just so fired up. He's got Zoe's hat on.
What number was Schneek's?
He's a top 10.
Seven? Is that seven?
It looks like eight.
Schmatz is seven.
Oh, I see him eight. Okay, Schmatz is seven. Schneekloth is eight.
Yep. But JT and Pat, Pat's so excited Hardy's leaving.
Yep.
Because of that little issue that they had at the beginning of the coronavirus.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That seems like years ago now. Oh, man.
Now, that was funny.
Pat said he won't have any more scratches on the right side of his neck anymore. Yeah, I didn't have to do that when Hardy comes walking through the cubicle area.
Hardy, I defended your honor in that one. I want you to know that.
To who?
To him.
Oh, Hardy was 100% right in that thing. He knew it, too. He didn't care, though. That's what made Hardy pissed.
I think it was just because Pat was very upset at the time, and I was just trying to calm him down. And I'm like, listen, everyone just relax.
How about this? You tell me about it. Chill.
Godspeed.
You tell me about it off the air because, I don't know if you know this, Beetle and I talk for hours on the phone every
night.
Yeah,
post-show call. We like to wrap things up.
That's what we'll
wind down the day together.
Right, right.
All of that. Felger and Mads are next. Have a great afternoon.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.